How do you know that Christmas is getting near? What are the things that tell you that Santa is on his way? What are the signs that the season of festivities are drawing near? Maybe was it back in October when the clocks change? Back in October, you remember those first feelings of dark nights drawing in? Did they give you those Christmassy little tingly feelings? Or maybe it was when the shops start selling mince pies, Christmas puddings, perhaps beginning of November, you know, the decorations go up in the streets and the stores. Or maybe it was when we finished the children's shoeboxes that we sent, the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes that we sent. Maybe mid-November you started to feel those kind of Christmassy vibes. But perhaps it's the end of November, now when the Christmas ads start showing on TV. One of the most popular Christmas ads this year is the John Lewis Christmas ad. If you haven't seen it, I want to show you this morning. So can you, Nick, can you hit the lights, please?
I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty. You have the world away. I've been lost, I've been found, but I don't feel gone. I don't feel gone.
Do you notice the tagline that it finished with in that ad? It says, show someone you love them this Christmas. And what struck me about the ad, although it wasn't intended, of course it wasn't intended to have a deeper meaning, it was simply intended to convince us to spend more money at John Lewis this Christmas. But the final line of the ad, it does point to the real meaning of Christmas. Show someone you love them this Christmas. And because, of course, the first Christmas was all about God showing us how much he loved us. It very nicely describes the meaning of that first Christmas and the meaning of celebrating every Christmas. You know, I was struck by the words of Noel Gallagher's song, that the point that we just heard sang, the point at the heart of the Christmas message. Do you notice the words that the lady sang? I've been lost, I've been found, but I don't feel down. You know, the Christmas message is all about the fact that we were lost, first lost, then found by God. And as a result, we no longer are still separated from the one who made us. You know, today is the first Sunday in Advent. Not that we go in this church much for the traditional church calendar, but obviously Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. The date doesn't mean a lot in one way, but actually an annual focus on the importance of the incarnation, the importance of his birth, is, I believe, is very important because of the centrality of what happened at Christmas to the whole of the Christian faith. Advent is that season of the build-up to Christmas. It's the four Sundays before Christmas as we focus on preparing for the miracle, which must be one of the most remarkable miracles in the whole Bible, the miracle of the incarnation. The impossibility of the eternal, all-powerful, limitless God that he should enter into his creation and become this vulnerable, helpless baby. It's mind-blowing. Advent, the word Advent means coming. And so this season we're going to try and think it fresh and appreciate about Jesus coming here to planet Earth. You see, Jesus came at just the right time. He came to just the right place. And he came with a very, very specific purpose. And I want to focus on that purpose today as we're preparing ourselves for Christmas. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this Christmas season. Lord, that we can use it as a time to refresh ourselves in the miracle of the incarnation. Thank you. We can use it to remember the amazing, amazing thing you did in that stable in Bethlehem. Thank you that we can freshly draw near to Jesus at this time. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come, you would teach us, you would help us today, that as we're thinking about you, that you would open our hearts and minds to understand and draw closer to you. Amen. I first came to London as a student. I was 19 years old. It was back in 1980. It was a summer vacation. After my first year at uni, I came on a mission. I came here for 1 week, and it was organized by the Universities and Colleges Christian Fellowship, the UCCF. They organized a mission week in London for 1 week. And so I came with other students, and it's the first time I came to London. It was a week of reaching out. It was a significant week for me. I learned that London was a big place, and I found that there were lots of people that were very lost in this big city. Now, my mission that week, it was small. There was only 20 of us on the team. It was limited. It was only for 7 days. My mission was a tiny mission to London all those years ago. But compared to the first Christmas, when it was God's amazing, enormous mission, when he came to planet Earth to start the project in the heart, on God's heart. See, in a very real sense, the whole of human history was leading up to that moment, that first Christmas, when God's mission began in that stable in Bethlehem. Christmas Day wasn't just another day in history. It was the very purpose for history. It wasn't simply God becoming a man. It was the eternal purpose of God planned, prepared, and finally executed to initiate the rescue plan of all time. You see, Jesus' birth was very much God's arrival on planet Earth on a mission that was in his heart to achieve. The timing of that first Christmas was perfect. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 4, tells us this amazing verse in Galatians 4. Can you put the verse up there, please? It says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. It's as though there'd been ages, there'd been centuries, there'd be all leading up to that time, that first Christmas, that first stable. Everything was ready, everything was prepared. And when the time was fully come, that was the time that the mission started. Everything was ready that first Christmas. Everything was prepared. The starting gun in heaven fired, and it was off. Jesus was born. The mission had begun. I want to talk this morning about Christmas as the start of God's mission to rescue those he loved. So the purpose for Jesus coming to earth was that he came. He was a man on a mission. The writer Luke tells us in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man, describing Jesus, the Son of Man came. Why did he come? Can you put up the verse up there, please? Luke 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's the reason why Jesus left heaven and came to earth. The coming of Jesus was, in a very way, a search and rescue mission. Jesus came for a very specific purpose, to seek and save the lost. He didn't come because it was a way to reach humankind. He came because it was the only way that he could seek and save the lost. See, without his coming, we together with all of humanity would have stood in a very dangerous and perilous place in our relationship with God. The coming judgment of a righteous God on our sin would have been terrible and inescapable. But we read in John 3:16, that wonderful verse that we know so well. God loved the world so much, God loved the world so much, he sent his son. God is a sending God, and God sent his very best from heaven. And Jesus was the only one, as we read in 1 Thessalonians verse, chapter 1, verse 10, Jesus was the only one who could deliver us from the wrath of God that was due to come upon our lives. And today I want to think about this characteristic of God, this part of his character, that he is God on a mission, a sending God. What we learn of God's character as we look at Christmas is that God is not a God who's removed from our needy world. He's not a God who's passive and indifferent to our sin. He's not a God who's insulated from our pain. No, instead, you see, God's a sending God. He's a searching God. He's a pursuing God. Advent is a reminder that God is a God who is reaching out. And that baby that was born in Bethlehem was sent from a heart filled with a love that overflowed. You know, at Christmas time, sometimes I wonder about the shepherds. They were there on that hillside in Bethlehem. And if we, in London here, if you look out on a night time, you don't see many stars because of all the light pollution. But imagine back there in Bethlehem, as they looked up, they must have seen thousands and thousands of stars. I sometimes wonder, maybe that night as they looked up, did they see the Milky Way? Sometimes on a clear night, we can see the Milky Way as you look at that band of stars that go across the sky. Looking out, they wouldn't have known this, but that those stars, part of our galaxy we're part of. There's 100,000, if you could count them, there's about 100,000 million stars up there. Our sun, of course, is only one of those. And it's humbling for us to realize, actually, our galaxy is only one of the 100,000 million galaxies that are in this universe that God's created. Imagine, though, a moment, before any star was created. Imagine a moment where there was only God. Imagine there was nothing else. That moment before there was any universe, there was just God. Now, if there was just you, you'd be lonely. If there was just you, you'd be bored. Imagine being for eternity just you. What a terrible thought. It'd be scary, in fact, just you. Because we're not like God. And God has revealed himself to be the God who is one God in three persons. And that each one of those persons is fully God. And that each one of those persons loves the other person in the Godhead. So God the Son loves God the Father. God the Father loves God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit loves God the Son. In fact, there's a perfect community. And so God existed from eternity as community. God existed from eternity as perfect love. God didn't make everything because he was bored. God didn't make everything because he was lonely. God was incredibly happy, filled with love, as each person of the Godhead loved the other. In fact, there was so much love in God. In fact, God was so full of love that the overflow of what was in God was the reason God created the universe and was the reason for the incarnation. It came out of the overflow. It came out of what was in God, overflowed. It's a wonderful way of looking at Bethlehem. It's a fantastic way of seeing what happened in that stable. That actually it was the overflow of the love of God that God was rescuing, searching, seeking, wanting to pour out his love on us. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And when that rescue mission started, when that baby was born, it's not like the rescue in the movies. If you go to watch a movie, the rescue arrives. And so there's a big music and there's a big entrance. And hey, the guy has arrived. The woman has arrived. The rescuer has arrived. Everyone knows about it. Of course, with Jesus, the moment he arrived in Bethlehem, no one knew. The angels had to tell the shepherds. They wouldn't have guessed. The star had to lead the kings. They wouldn't have guessed. Nobody knew. When the rescuer arrived, it was this poor family in a little town. And that's the way I'd like us to look this morning at Christmas, that it's the day the rescue mission started. When Jesus slipped from heaven to earth, unnoticed by the important people. A few weeks ago, I got some tickets for my favourite musical, Cats. And myself, my wife, Barbara, we're going to go into this musical. There were discounted tickets. And they said they've got a restricted viewing. I thought, oh dear, have you ever had restricted viewing tickets? I went to see one musical that was restricted viewing. And we were so far away, the people on the stage looked like ants down there. I thought, oh dear. Or you get behind a pillar and so you're trying to look at what's happening. But no, fantastic. Fortunately, these restricted viewing scenes were on the front row of the circle. I don't know why they thought they were restricted viewing. Maybe because she was so near, I don't know. But anyway, but they're fantastic. So we got these seats, enjoyed the musical. On the way home, we jumped in a taxi. We sat down. As soon as we sat down, the taxi driver asked us a strange question, a very personal question. The taxi driver said this: how long have you two been together? I said, 25 years. And he was shocked. He was that shocked. He said, how do you manage that? No one stays together for that long these days. It's rather a personal question for someone we've only met 2 minutes ago. What do I say? How do you manage that? How am I going to answer him? Perhaps I could have said, well, it's because we're lucky. Maybe I could have said, you know, we're lucky that we've stayed together. Or maybe I could have said, it's because I'm such an amazing husband. But he wouldn't have believed that. Or my wife's such a patient wife. I felt prompted to say, we've been together because we're Christians. I just felt that kind of stirring. just to kind of in one, just to really say, look, it's because of Jesus. It's because of him. It's because of Jesus. Point to Jesus. And the answer I gave opened the floodgates in his heart. And he started to share about his own life, about his spiritual journey, about things happening for him. It's continued all the way home. We talked about Jesus. We talked about church. And it finished with me inviting him along to come to New Life. In fact, he was so touched by our conversation, he insisted on discounting the cab fare. But my taxi ride made me think, how ready am I to take the opportunities that come my way to talk about Jesus? See, the conversation started in such an unlikely way. I didn't get in the cab and he said, tell me about Jesus. That conversation started out of nowhere. I thought about that verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3 says this, always be prepared, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And so the Apostle Peter here is saying, be ready, look out, unlikely things will happen. You could be in a cab, you could be on the underground, you could just be, your neighbor could just ask. There could be all kinds of things happen when you're not expecting, but be prepared, be ready. Be ready, looking out so that when someone asks you, you're ready to give an answer. See, people at work, relatives, friends, sometimes ask questions. Things like, why are you happy today? Why are you such a thankful person? Why don't you swear? I remember at work that I worked in a company where the other people in my team, everyone was living with their partner. None of them were married. And they said to me, they turned around me one day and said, Paul, you're weird. I said, why am I weird? They said, because you're not living with someone. This was a long time ago. I was sharing a flat with some other guys. And I thought it's an opportunity. These opportunities come when people ask you a question or make a comment about how you live or what you're doing. It's an opportunity. I believe it's an opportunity. And I believe so often I miss it. So often I miss it. I'm not ready. As Peter says here, I'm just not ready. It made me think, how many times have I missed a chance to touch the life of someone who's close or even someone who's not so close because I wasn't ready to say something? Now, Christmas is a reminder that God is a sending God. God sent his son into the world that first Christmas on a mission. And that mission that Jesus had was given to his followers. In Mark 3:13, it says he appointed his 12 disciples, that they might be with him, that he might send them out. So they were with him for a reason, they were with him for a purpose, not to be with him, that he could send them. He could send them on a mission that he wanted them to go out. They were sent. When Jesus, of course, left earth, returned to heaven, he gave the commission, go and make disciples. It's my mission. It was God's mission. It is God's mission. It was Jesus' mission. It's our mission. That my heart would reach out and touch the lost this morning. I want to ask us a question today. Ask us, are we mission ready? Are we mission ready? Are we ready to touch the lives of those who are around us? We have opportunities. People ask questions. Even simple questions. Tomorrow morning, what did you do what did you do at the weekend? What did you do on Sunday? Someone asks, what did you do this weekend? And I've got to be honest, sometimes I feel guilty. Sometimes I feel guilty that I don't seem to care enough about the people around me who don't know Jesus. I do care to some extent, but sometimes I realize I don't care the way that God cares. I've got to be honest. Sometimes I feel guilty. I feel guilty about my lack of concern for my neighbor, for my relatives, for my friends. Do you know that guilt is a very poor motivator? Guilt is a very miserable motivator. It's very unproductive. Guilt doesn't motivate. Guilt is a very unhelpful reason to do something. Guilt is a very fruitless pressure on our lives. Because actually, guilt is something inside me that's trying to make me do something that really I don't want to do. And it's very, very unfruitful, I want to suggest this morning. And I want to encourage us. Our message today is not a message of discouragement. because I want to see there's something that flows from the heart of God that's a passion. It's a passion. It's his love. It's his concern for those that are outside his love. It's his compassion for those who don't know his son. It's his reaching out heart for those who are missing out on his kindness. You know, that John Lewis advert we saw at the beginning was designed to motivate us to spend more money at John Lewis. That was why it was written. That's why it was there. It's a motivational advert. And what we're talking about today is not just, I'm not giving you a motivational speech. Come on, guys, we need to. Or come on, guys, you should. Actually, what we're talking about today is we're talking about a God who is an overflowing God. And something's flowing out of his heart. Something's overflowing out of the heart of God that I believe God wants to allow to flow in my heart and in your heart, that something would catch, something would burn stronger, something would be more. There will be something in me that I will be more ready to give a reason for the hope to those that ask. And that's my prayer for us this morning. My prayer for us this morning is, God, what is overflowing out of your heart, this real mission, this real heart of care, could some of that love touch my heart today? Could some of that love grip my heart today? Could some of that love flow in my heart and then out of my heart today, Lord, please? You see, that's the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is hearts changed. Who's the most passionate football supporter you know? Who's the person you know? I've got a relative who's absolutely, totally dedicated to football. I think that if you could cut the person, cut him in half, that you'd find just football, football, football throughout the heart. There's nothing else in the guy, just football. And I just can't understand it. I try and watch him out, thinking maybe a bit of this passion for football. No, the thing is, I love playing football. When I grew up as a boy, I loved football. Every minute I was out there playing football, love it. But for some reason, I never got a team. Maybe because I come from a town with a rubbish team called Oldham. I don't know. But I never got a team anyway. I love playing it, but I never got a team. And there's something about passion for football that doesn't seem to transfer. You just think, whoa, dear, that's a bit over the top. And one of the things about passion is it doesn't seem to catch or transfer very easily. And so what this morning, what I'm talking about is not trying to catch something, but asking for more of a miracle that God, by his grace, would place something in my heart. God, by his grace, would do a miracle in me and give me his passion, because I can't work it up. I can't say, come on, Paul, you need to be more passionate. I need God to do a miracle. I want to suggest this morning that it's a wonderful time of year to ask the God of miracles, would you stir our hearts? Would you come and breathe fresh in our hearts with this mission on your heart to touch those who don't know about you? That's my prayer for us this morning. That's what I'm going to ask him to do. I'm going to ask God, come by your Holy Spirit. Come and work amongst us. Come and touch our hearts and touch our minds. Let's close our eyes and pray for a moment. This morning, I wanted to just stop there, really to give us some time. I want us to stop and let's just ask the God of miracles, the God of miracles, to help us this morning. Lord, today we celebrate that first miracle when you sent and you came, because you cared so much. You cared so much. And Lord, I confess I haven't got that same passion and care in my heart. Thank you, Lord, for what we have got. Thank you that we do care. But Lord, we're asking for some of your passion, some of your care, Lord. We're asking, God of miracles, could you impart to our heart something overflowing from heaven today that we could receive, that we could be changed, that something from heaven could touch our hearts and grip us today, Lord. Let's just be quiet before God for a moment. Let's each of us just talk and share with our Heavenly Father and just say, Father, Heavenly Father, today, me, would you come in this heart? Would you come and breathe that love for others in this heart? Lord, I confess our need of more of your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, could you please burn those words in our heart and mind that we always be ready, may we always be ready to give a reason to those who ask us. May we always be looking for those opportunities, Lord, to share something of your reality, something of your love, something of your goodness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for us as a congregation this morning, even this week, would you give every single one of us an opportunity to share with a relative, a friend, a neighbour, a stranger. Could we have an opportunity this week, Lord? Please, let's stand together, shall we? Let's lift our hearts. Let's worship Jesus. Fantastic. A big welcome. If you're new, if it's the first time here at New Life, welcome. It's lovely to see you this morning. They've fixed the heating, and so it's a bit more toasty in here, which is fantastic. I've got a confession to make. Yesterday we put up our Christmas tree. Yes, officially Christmas has begun. It's very exciting as a countdown to Christmas goes. Christmas is fun, and there's so many opportunities to do with Christmas. We've got our carol service. It's a great time of year, the carol service, because it's an opportunity for people who maybe wouldn't want to come to church normally, but maybe that they would be willing to come to a carol service. And so, not next week, which is the 6th, but the week after, which is the 13th. We're not meeting in the morning, it's just in the afternoon. Let's have a picture up on here, David, please, of the carol service invite. We're handing around these carol service invites, and it's not next week, it's the week after. The 13th, it's at 4 o'clock in here. And there's three things, please, to remember on that day. Firstly, bring a friend. It's a great opportunity to invite neighbours, friends, relatives. Be a service will be about an hour's long, and it's really be accessible for those that are not Christians. They will enjoy it because it's going to be fun and relevant. That's going to be here on that afternoon. Also, could you bring some funds, some money to give? We're raising money for the orphanage. Michelle's put the pictures of the kids in the orphanage in India over there on the information point. And so, again, we're going to be collecting funds for the orphanage to send out there to India. And so we're going to be bring. That's the second F. And the third F is for food, finger food. And we're going to have a tea together here afterwards. So if you could bring some finger food, that would be fantastic. Also on that day, we're going to be having a choir. And if you'd like to take part in that choir, a sweet voice would be helpful, but a big smile would be even better. So if you'd like to take part, there's going to be a rehearsal after this morning's meeting, just a short one after this morning's meeting, and there's going to be one also next week. So if you can't make this week, next week will be fine. Just opportunity during the service, we're going to have a choir piece that's always good fun and lovely to take part in. So that's going to be after this morning's meeting in here, just here. We're going to have a short practice for the choir. Looking forward to all the things that are happening over Christmas. And the information sheet that you got from the door, on there are the times, places and dates of all the things happening over this Christmas period. Sometimes we're here, sometimes we're not. So it's an opportunity to just look on that sheet and see where we are. On Saturday the 12th, so not next Saturday, Saturday afterwards, we're going to be carol singing in Queen's Crescent Market. It's always good with other churches. Great to get together with the churches. And so that's going to be on 11 o'clock, Queen's Crescent Market on the 12th, Saturday the 12th. So if you'd like to come along, that would be fantastic. It's great. Over Christmas, we're going to be meeting different places. A map on also on that sheet about where we're going to be meeting. Next week, 6th of December, is a food bank week. We collect food to be able to give to those who are struggling at the moment in Camden financially. It's a great project to be a part of. And so if you could bring some food along next week for food bank, leave it on the information point, then we take that. And that's distributing, given out this time of year. It's really helpful, very practical thing to be able to do. Thanks so much. No, Joe's got one more thing. Here we go.
Just one more Christmas thing. I can't believe they've got their Christmas tree up. It's still November. I think it's just outrageous. And so next Sunday, which is the 6th, I think, we're going to have our special Christingle service for the children, where we're going to make the oranges with the sweets and light the candles. It's a really special service. It's also an amazing time to, the origins of it are a prayer for the coming of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. So it's really for everybody, but the children will be very involved in that. It's not an all-age service, but that is next week. And can I just quickly throw in about the carol singing in Queen's Crescent. If you've never come and done this before and stood out and sung carols, I don't like standing out on the street, okay? But what, doing that carol thing is so special. We only do it for about an hour, don't we, or 45 minutes, because it gets so freezing cold. But it's with the other churches, and it's such a special 45 minutes or an hour. It'd be fantastic to have some of the children come as well if you felt like it. So it's 11 o'clock in Queen's Crescent, and it's our drinks afterwards in the church, and it's just the most wonderful time right down in that bit of Kentish town. So do come along.
Thank you very much. Brilliant. The children, young people, babies, now's the time. Head through the door over there. Part two starts in 1 minute. There's a 1 minute comfort break. Tea and coffee's over there. The toilets are just through there. We start again in 1 minute's time.